ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated too. It's a gorgeous country, this. Now, speaking of gorgeousness, if you'd be so gorgeous as to call in, we'd be very much obliged, because, times happen when you organise guests and you don't know what their deal is, because they don't seem to reply to anything and they don't show up. So he asks me, you know, who's on the show today, and I say, I got nothing. You know, just straight up, I got nothing. And I want to try to dispel any illusions here that people think that I know what I'm doing. trust me, I got no idea, and I'm just doing it all on the fly. And that's all you really need to do, okay? Yeah, at least you just need to do something. Now, what was in the news today? Oh, yeah, Syria. Syria's been an interesting topic, don't you think? Everybody's saying, apparently, according to mainstream media, and every single person that they interview, please, international forces, come in and bomb us. It'll make everything better than the regime. 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 How many freaking times can you say the word regime in a news broadcast? You've got to be freaking kidding me. I mean, do people not recognise what propaganda is? It's how you word stuff. Jeepers creepers. It's unbelievable that the consistent repetition. Okay, here's the things that are repeated about Syria. A1, the word regime. Okay, I can talk about the Obama regime rather than the Obama administration, or the Obama oppression, or the Obama chancellorship, dictatorship now. And Obamacare being the big socialist takeover of America. Oh, yes. But the whole thing about Syria is, look, the West has had troops there for some time, has been arming the rebels, alleged rebels, and has a big stake in the region. Syria occupies a very, you know, shall we say, strategic place in the Middle East. It's a route from Turkey and through Jordan to Israel and all of that kind of stuff, man. My mate Chris Van Ryn, when they were doing a convoy supply through to Gaza, they wanted to go through Syria, but apparently back then it was blocked as well. And it's a preferable choice than having to, you know, jump on a ship and sail across the channel to Egypt. And at the moment, Egypt's all going to heck anyway. The whole Middle East seems to be destabilizing, as if it's the crust of the earth on that movie 2012.
It's all destabilizing.
Who thinks that this is all happening by accident? Who thinks that there's no orchestration going on here? I mean, let's take the Muslim Brotherhood, for instance, and their stake in Egypt. Who exactly gets recruited into the Muslim Brotherhood? Isn't it like the highest intellectuals and prefabricated elites and everything that are you know, trained at Langley or whatever? You know, who cares what kind of choices they put up in front of you? It's just not the case. The same is true with Assad. I mean, there's been a lot of reports coming out of there saying that, oh well, Assad actually was giving people like what, free electricity, free healthcare, free education, and free this, free that, and apparently, life was freaking sweet until all these rebels financed by the West started blowing stuff up everywhere, and all this footage comes out saying that, oh, Assad and his troops have massacred a bunch of children, and then it turns out that it's like shaky, handheld video phone footage from Iraq a previous year or something like that. I mean, come on. Every single thing that they show you happens to be fake or something, I swear. It's terrible, the amount of propaganda that's going on. I want to know what the heck is really going on. I want to know why Libya got invaded after they started to want to trade gold for oil. I want to know why Iraq got invaded when they wanted to start trading oil for euros or whatever. I want to know why Iran got threatened and had got trade sanctions on them when they wanted to trade oil for gold. I wonder what Syria's done. I mean, is it just basically, if you mess with the drug supply, the general political climate, or anything like that, if you ain't massively in debt to the banksters, then you're a target. All right, raise your hand if you're not massively in debt. Okay, you're a target. You know, take him out. If he, that guy with the raised hand, take him out, bro. You know, this is what's happening. Every country that is no longer in debt, I think that they're going to have to wind up defending themselves in some way. I mean, the only people I've seen do that is Iceland. And they did it by force. A couple of hundred people it took. Literally, a couple of hundred people. Everybody talks about these million-man marches and what the hell changes? Nothing. A couple of hundred people walked into Parliament and physically grabbed these bankster scumbags and threw them out onto the street and told them to fuck off, to frack off. And it's a simple solution, and it worked, and their economies never run better. Right? When you have assets that are leaking money, you get rid of them. You cut your losses, and you get out. If you've got a business that is in massive liquidation or under immense threat of some kind from its financial instability, you immediately forgive all the debts. That is the best thing to do in any business crisis situation. Just forgive all the debts, because you know for a fact that you're not going to get your money back anyway. And also, if you do try and get your money back, you'll prevent anybody else from wanting to have any business to do with you. Because all you're going to want to talk about every time you're talking with them is how to get your money back. Just forgive the debt. And that's what the Jubilee is about. Anybody else heard of this Jubilee? Apparently the Queen throws some description of Jubilee Party. It's you know, it might be the paper Jubilee, or the ramrod Jubilee, or the diamond Jubilee, or the golden Jubilee, or the firework Jubilee, whatever. And apparently the whole idea is just about forgiveness of debt. And, you know, I wish that a lot of the people walking around today who are broke as, you know, and there's no way of paying off those, like, you know, the reason why a lot of people are broke as is because they got like $60,000 student loans or something like that, and they're earning a couple of hundred bucks a week minimum wage because they couldn't get a job after coming out of university with their freaking PhD and they're flipping burgers. You know, they would have been better off flipping burgers. They'd be manager by now. Think about it, man. That whole system of debt traps you, turns you into a servant. And you have any country that comes out trying to have its own currency, or try to, basically not be dependent on another country's economy or currency or whatever. Any form of economic independence that connotes them not getting into immense amounts of unpayable debt, they get invaded, invariably. That's the way the world really works. It's tragic. Of course it is. But what can you do about it? Well, you can talk about it, can't you? You can Google it. You can learn about it. Think about it. Get other people involved. Understand what is going on. That's what you can do. And then, once you've figured out what's going on, figure out if there's something you can do to stop it, to change it, even in the smallest way, even in a battle with a huge, giant beast that are coming at you, Lord of the Rings, elephant-riding, beast-men style, every single person just charged straight at him and took a little slice. And they brought those big beasties down. Okay? So figure out where you're going to strike. What little slice are you going to take? If this is to be our end, then we'll make such an end as to be worthy of remembrance. I think that society is becoming weighed down with this debt so much that it's actually started to affect people's, their psychology. People's mindsets have changed because of all this debt. They have no idea what's going to happen one day to the next with floating interest rates, do they? It's of deep concern, to me at least, that more people aren't aware of just how much there is floating around up there. I saw a cartoon the other day, and there were 5 or 6 people in the cartoon walking around, and one homeless man sitting on the ground begging for change. And it had a little bubble of a counter of the money each of those people had. And each of the 6 people walking around, you know, like one of them owed $3,000, one of them owed $12,000, one of them owed $30,000, $40,000, $160,000. And the bum had $2. He was rich by comparison to all these people who are walking around in the nice clothes and everything like that, who thinking they got money. They ain't got nothing. Kind of like Donald Trump. He ain't got nothing. Isn't that funny? Hey, you can build up entire freaking empires based upon nothing. There's nothing there. It's just all this debt, derivative, interest-bearing, loan-packaged, mortgage-trading, fair game deals, etc. All these different words and languages and numbers and speculative coats and tactics. It's incredible how people can not see through it. Because every time a con man's trying to con you, he's going to make sure that you don't know what he's talking about, but you trust him enough that he knows what he's talking about. Oh, okay. I'll just nod my head and whatever and go along with whatever he says. That's what a con man does. Think about it. Think about how your prime minister or your president acts. It happens over and over again that you'd elect somebody to get rid of the debt and they just wind up getting you in more debt. Okay? That's a pattern. That's something that means that the next person who will be elected will do the same thing. We are all victims of usury. I would say that the gas prices, food prices. In fact, you know, you could just come out and call it the everything prices. The everything prices have gone through the roof, don't you think? Aren't you finding it hard to pay the rent? Hard to juggle the gas and the power and the food and that kind of stuff? Aren't you finding it difficult? And sometimes you're only just coming up with a little bit more extra money that you can save or something, and then another bill comes up, okay? That's the banksters. If you're running out of money to feed your kids and you're working about an extra 8 hours a week in order to make ends meet, and at the end of the day you're so tired you can't even enjoy your kids being around anymore because you're too tired to play with them, that's the banksters. If you're worried about your kids running out and getting drunk and everything like that, well, you'd be very, very worried indeed. But you've got nobody to look after them and you can't do it yourself because you're out working just to make sure that at least they're fed because the food's gotten so freaking expensive that you burn a gallon of gas. It doesn't even matter. You're going down to the shop and the food's so expensive you can't even freaking buy it. That's the banksters. All this annoying, shocking crapola that everybody has to go through, this juggling, you know, you've got to put out you've got to extend your overdraft so that you can pay off your credit card so that you can refinance your personal loan so that you can make this month's mortgage payment. You you know? And this happens, man. Everybody's doing this big debt juggle. And the fact is, you shouldn't have had those balls in your hand to begin with, man. All right? Because you think that you might be the one juggling the balls or whatever, but really it's actually the bank who's got you by the balls. Really. This is how money controls you. And you can get people to buy into anything with enough money. Okay? And the bankers have an unlimited money supply. Unlimited money supply. Which means there is no limit to who they can bribe. The only people that won't get bribed are the people who get shot, basically. It's a dark, cold place out there. You understand the reality, but you just smile and laugh anyway. This is all you can do. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Back in a minute. The way it's going to be.
Some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room, and the chat room's kind of twice the size as it used to be now, which is good. And it's always good to have new people in there. And after the shows, we normally do about or at least an hour of talking with the listeners on the Vinny Eastwood social network, just on Skype kind of thing. So if you join us in the chat room and we can, I'll give you my Skype address and stuff. You can add me and we'll put you on the little Skype group that we've got there and have a chat. You know, some of the other listeners, some people from, we've got Trinidad and Tobago, the UK and America and New Zealand and Aussies and Canadians. And people really from all over the world are welcome, I guess. Come on in, man. Come to the Vinny Eastwood Show chat room, and you'll actually get to talk with other people who think as you do. Well, that there is a group of criminal scumbaggery elite mofos running the show, isn't it? And it's good when you're talking with other people who know what you're talking about, okay, as opposed to the blank stares and the being called a conspiracy theorist. In fact, that's a point that I try to make when I'm at protests and I'm talking about all this stuff. And people might have heard them for the first time, and just, you know, remind them, whenever you see somebody that is talking about this kind of thing, immediately rush up to them and call them a conspiracy theorist. I can guarantee you they would have never heard it before. You know what's funny about people who are predictable? You know that they're not thinking. Okay? Computers are predictable, aren't they? You know why? Because they don't know how to think. Cars are predictable. You know, you turn the key, they automatically turn on. I don't know how to think. They're a device. Humans, on the other hand, we can change our minds. We can change our programming. We can stop doing all this crap. We can stop getting into debt. Stop voting for people who lie to you. That would be a nice idea, wouldn't it? Conceivably. However, people forget that it actually requires a shockingly large amount of sacrifice at all times of the day. Now, I want to sort of encapsulate just that money point that I was making before, how money has control over your life. It works like this. imagine you got $20 in your hand. Okay. Where'd that $20 come from? Okay, let's say you got paid $20 an hour. You got paid that $20 because you did an hour's work. Okay, cool. That $20 is yours. What are you going to do with it? You're probably going to buy some milk, some bread, some, Huggies for the kids or whatever. And you're going to pay your rent and that kind of stuff. The basics of life. And there's only so much you can spend on the basics of life. Think about that $20 instead being $100 million. And you go down to the shop to buy your milk and your bread and your nappies. You're not going to be able to spend that $100 million, are you? So you start to get other ideas about what you're going to do with it. Where does that money come from? Because when you walk into a bank and when you sign on the dotted line that, yes, I want this loan, that is the moment that that money is created. It is created upon your signature alone. So that $20 that you have in your hand is just as much a signature and a contract as you taking a house loan, except you've already worked and you've already done the labor in order to pay it off. So it means you're in credit. You've got $20. You're not in debt. This is the thing. When you give your control of who issues that currency, who actually has the printing press, who can just make that $100 million based on your signature, that person collects interest on that money. So not only does he have the $20 in his hand after doing no work, but also the people who are continuing to work have to keep paying him more money. And then he speculates that that $20 is actually going to turn into $100 over time and then expand and inflate the money supply. That's what he gambles on at 1,000 to 1 on the stock market until he's created 10 times as much, 1,000 times as much debt as that original $20 was there. The original tiny portion that was his, he inflated into enormous quantities of debt to enslave everybody else. That's called usury. And we are currently being usured and usurped by this system. That is the main cause of all this inequality. That is the main cause of all this poverty. That is the main cause of all this information control in the media. It's the main cause of all the consolidation of global corporate power. Okay? Is the main cause of all these problems is the root of that money supply. That person holding a huge advantage over everybody else who has to bust their hump for that $20 when he didn't have to do a thing and uses everybody else in order to get his cut and then uses all that he makes in order to buy everything that we spend our money on that we loaned off of him. So every single thing in this entire world in terms of the money supply system and cash flow is not a river, as cash flow and currency, that's why they call it a currency, should be. The money must flow. And instead, what's happening now is the money is being whirlpooled and siphoned and sucked down into only a few hands who have seized control of the means of production and the means of brainwashing and the means of co-opting any kind of movement that would strike up to oppose them. It's an incredibly well thought out plot. And the central pillar, the one thing that they need in order to be able to make sure that this plan comes to fruition, the total debt enslavement and physical enslavement subsequently of all mankind, is having the issuance of currency, the sleight of hand capacity to make your signature into any number that they want and use all of it to bind you. That's what a mortgage means. Have you ever heard of a mortician? Mortality is death. Okay? Mortgage and gauge. Anybody heard of a depth gauge or something like that? It's a grip. So mortgage means death grip. And that's the whole concept that people have to understand. why you should not get a mortgage, why debt is so toxic, and why it weighs you down so much, and why it gives so much control over your life to the banking scumbag elite. That is what I'm talking about here. Get rid of the bankers. They are the cause and root of all this problemic, all this problematic crapola that we've been dealing with all day long. Every part of our day is affected by it. If you don't think money affects every part of your day, try living a day without it in a city, okay? Try living in a city without money. You can't beg. You can't stay anywhere. You can't do anything, right? And that's why money was used as the method to control us, because it controls every aspect of our lives, because all life is now linked to money. Okay. Hey, mate, do you want to come out to the bar for a beer? $8 a beer. Unless I'm earning $1,000 a week, I can't afford to go out and have a drink with you, mate, and buy it for myself. It's just not happening. So the amount of money you have determines what kind of social situations you're going to be capable of getting into. Oh, do you want to come to a rock concert, man? Mate, it's $80. I don't know if I can afford that. Boom. That's how money controls you, and it gets people to think that, oh, I really need that rock concert, and if I don't go, my life will be over, and things of that nature, and walking around, looking everywhere, you know, trying to find a little bit of cash to go and see your favorite band. Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness, they're coming to town. I've got to be there. Otherwise, it'll just make my whole experience so much better. It might, but if you didn't go, nothing would change. Okay? Nothing would change. Except if you made a loan in order to get that. Depends how long you'd have to pay it back, man. How much work are you willing to put in? Binding your labor. Literally. With collars around your necks and cuffs around your wrists. All these business people walking around here. They're bound servants and slaves, and they have no idea. They think they're bulletproof with a power suit. Okay? They're not. They think that having a diamond encrusted cufflink makes them cool. No more than diamond encrusted handcuffs when you're being led by the FBI into the back of a black Suburban in front of all the news cameras after you embezzled $1 billion would be cool. Maybe it would be a little bit cool, but it doesn't change the fact that they're friggin' handcuffs and you're going to jail. There is no credit in the system. It is all debt. Credit is something that you've got, whereas money, it's actually created out of debt. You don't actually have it. So even as I talked about before, you having the $20 and the other guy making $100 million or whatever, you don't even have that $20 because the guy who's making the $100 million has your $20 too, and he can make your $20 worth as much or as little as he wants. Okay? I remember when I used to have $20, mate, I could do like most of a week shopping with $20. You know, you get a couple of loaves of bread, you could get yourself some 2-minute noodles, a couple of bags of potatoes and onions and leeks and stuff like that. You'd have soup and sandwiches and all that sort of stuff, pretty meagerly, but you could survive on $20 a week. Now, mate, it's like if you need $20 a day, at least, kind of thing. It's become phenomenally insane how little our money is worth. It's not worth anything anymore. So I work an hour today, and it's not worth the hour that I worked yesterday. That's how fast the currency is being devalued. I mean, I'm surprised that they don't have those things like gas stations have with all the petrol prices on a daily meter. How much is our frickin' money worth today? Just around everywhere in the streets kind of thing. How much debt have we got today? They don't want people to see all that kind of thing. And people aren't interested either because they think money's got no control over them. They think it's, oh, I'm just buying this and buying that or anything like that. I'm just using money as a tool. It doesn't rule me. I've got control over my cat. Bull crap, Shiite Muslim, mate. You are a bonded debt slave. There is nothing you can do to argue your way out of that incomprehensible fact. You are a debt slave. It's unfortunate. But hey, lots of societies have gone through different forms of slavery, and now you're just going through one of the more interesting and easiest forms to enslave somebody, is to get them to enslave themselves. It's much easier when people think they're free, isn't it? Because they'll keep working really, really hard, thinking that they'll be able to make it someday. Oh, if you work hard enough, you'll be able to make enough money one day to be able to kick back and relax. BS! If you work harder, your boss gets richer, and the rest of the money that you make gets taken away by an increased tax bracket. You can't escape from it. They get you from every side. And if you think that you've got a choice about paying taxes or doing what the government tells you, why don't you go up to them and say, hey guys, you know what, how about we do a deal here? I revoke all of my rights as a citizen of this country, like all the services and et cetera, that I pay for out of my taxes, allegedly. I'm going to opt out, okay? I'm just opting out. I don't want to pay your taxes. I don't want anything from you. I don't want to use your hospital. I don't want to use your roads. I'm just going to go bush or something. They will freaking come after you, right? That is how ruthless these people are. You are automatically a racketeered, bonded shop owner in a mafia neighborhood when you are born with a birth certificate. That's where a lot of the money really comes from as well. It's because the only right way that these bankster elite who have the capacity to create $100 million off a signature is that all those signatures and everything like that are on your birth certificates, which means your government owns you, which means your property, your shares, your livestock. It's like a share certificate, no different than you'd find on the stock market. And they borrow money upon your ass. So they're already borrowing money for you, in your name, in your government, on top of you borrowing money for yourself and getting yourself even more in debt to the bankers, as well as the government, which gets everybody in the whole country, regardless of their financial status, into massive bondage and slavery and servitude and usury to the bankster elite scumbaggery filth. It is just that complicated. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show, 218-339-8525. Back with me.
Out the door, just in time. Head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. Superman.
I'm no Superman. Welcome back. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. If you're in the United States, or in Arizona or Maryland or something like that, you know, call on into the show, 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. And we'd love to take your calls and figure out what the heck is going on all over the place, because, you know, it doesn't look good in a lot of ways. There's something wrong with everything that you look into. That's what I found very interesting, isn't it? You know, have a look at the news. Have a look at a television commercial. Have a look at a movie or a TV series or anything like that. I remember it was like in between flipping channels or something, we watched a couple of minutes of Glee or something like that. Apparently, Golden Globe winning big Francesco Cibinotti, whatever. Francesco Cibinotti, where did that come from? Kind of a show where everybody's on stage in high school, and you know, there's geeks and nerds and blah blah blah. All those stereotypes that, of course, we've all come to emulate over a period of time being slaves. And the concern is. Or at least my concern is that there's a lot of programming inside all these programs. Incidentally, that's why they call it programming. And dig this. Okay, this is one of the lines that they were talking about. One of these chicks is going through a bit of a hard time, and it's a little bit difficult, etc., etc. And dig this, man. Dig this. She says, "Well, at least I'm not living in a FEMA camp somewhere." Or a FEMA trailer somewhere in some camp somewhere, or something like that. Me and Sarah were just like, "Oh my god! Did you hear it? Did you hear it?" You know, this is everything's full of it, man. Everything. That's why it's so inescapable. It's all around you. It's like you're getting claustrophobic because of the walls of reality itself are closing in around you, because all of these terrible, terrible things are now becoming part of your awareness. You were never aware of them before. It's like being able to see ghosts when previously you couldn't, okay? A new spectrum of awareness has come to you. And a lot of people who experience gifts or whatever you want to call it, the capacity to see things that others cannot, they have the vision that it's a burden, that it's a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad thing, and they wish everything would just go back to normal. Well, I got news for you. Things are never going to go back to normal. Things don't go back at all. Period. Things keep going forward. That's the only direction that exists, as far as I know. Well, apparently people can time travel backwards in some secret government underground projects. Andrew Brasaggio or something like that. He's been involved in that stuff. Allegedly. I wasn't there. I don't know. But point of fact is, how do you escape from a system that's inescapable? How do people normally do it? They drink. You know, they drink, or they distract themselves and things of that nature. Now, and I'm starting to believe that this might actually be a very healthy coping mechanism. Okay, if things feel a bit too much, trust me, there is a lot of medicinal purpose in just getting wasted and having a few laughs with a few people. There's nothing wrong with it. It could often be very helpful to you. Very helpful to your state of mind and state of being. The dangers that we all suffer as a result of being involved in any way, shape, or form with the system are primarily psychological, and there's often a lot of underlying health concerns as well that are the direct cause of those. Because a lot of people don't realize that stress causes illness. But the problem is, a lot of mental problems are usually the result of an underlying health condition. For example, somebody might be incredibly violent and aggressive and flying off the wall or whatever. Ah, they've got cancer. Something of that nature. It happens more often than one would think. My concern is that it's real palpable. The bad feelings that you can have heaped onto you, kind of thing. And if you want to communicate with people and they don't communicate back to you directly or sort of stuff, you start inventing or speculating as to why they haven't gotten back to you as soon as humanly possible. Am I not good enough? Is this person, blowing me off? They think they're too big, or they think they're too important, etc., etc. And you start projecting all these things onto other people that are really just views about yourself, because the only reason why you'd contact somebody else and then get upset why they didn't contact you back or anything like that is because you're feeling a little bit insecure, okay? If you send an email to David Icke or Sean David Morton or anything like that, and they don't get back to you right away, mate, it's impossible for one person that has the attention of millions to get back to everybody. It's not possible, okay? Because that'd be all they do. And that's why people get assistance and things of that nature. But of course, it becomes impersonal. This is why I don't like mass culture at all, because it does not allow you to get close to people. It does not allow you to be there with them to a degree. And that's why I started the Vinnie Eastwood Show social network. So if you send us an email through the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, just tell us your name and your general area, whereabouts or what have you, through your email. And we'll be cranking out on the show from time to time lists of locations. And if you are in those locations, we'd like you to email in. And we'll be able to introduce you to some other truthers and listeners to the Vinnie Eastwood Show in your area. And, of course, I take no responsibility for how those relationships or meetups or whatever's go, because I'm not God. But still, the fact of the matter is we all feel really alone, don't we? And the fact of the matter is when you meet another truther or something like that and you feel like you're the only one for a hell of a long time, it feels blimmin' great. It feels like you can breathe again. It feels like you can actually be yourself, okay? That's what I noticed when I had to change my circle of friends. Nobody that I ever met in university or at any job that I've ever had or any high school that I've ever been to, none of those people are still my friends today, okay? I've just made new and better friends, okay? A lot of people are really afraid of making new friends. Believe me when I tell you, the thing that'll be the worst for you in your entire life is a lack of mates. A whole bunch of good mates who will come out for you for basically at any point that you're in need or whatever. If you've got mates there for you, you'll be sweet as, provided you're not taking Prozac or xylitol. Or xylitol. Just make teeth clear. Zoloft. And just kill yourself. And nobody else has any idea why until later on they realize that you were on one of those incredibly dangerous psychotropic medications that make you kill yourself and your family and drown them in the bathtubs in the middle of the night because that's what you were dreaming about and you acted the dream out, that kind of thing. That's what that's people were like, whoa, that's a bit freaky, man. It's just like, yes, it is a bit freaky. Reality is freaky. For goodness sake, have you ever seen Ripley's Believe It or Not or any of these other things? You wouldn't believe what really happened. You wouldn't believe what doesn't happen, okay? Yeah, nobody has any idea what reality is to from 1 minute to the next, is my opinion. I certainly don't. I've got, you know, an idea and a framework to go from, but I have no idea where things are going, what things actually are or whatever, because that new information could be presented at any point. That proves all of my previously held beliefs 100% wrong, unequivocally. And I would actually relish the opportunity to be unequivocally wrong, because I'm going to wake up tomorrow and have somebody come up to me and prove to me there's no Rothschilds, there's no vaccines, there's no Rockefellers, there's no media control, there's no lying prime sinister bankster John Key mofo running the country, there's no debt enslavement, there's no fractional reserve banking, there's no economy, there's no oil cartels, and there's no nothing. If somebody could come in and prove me that day and I woke up the next day, realize, oh my God, been worried about this entire stuff my entire life and I was just actually insane, that would actually be a welcome relief, because then I don't have to worry about being enslaved, killed, vaccinated and sterilized. I don't want to believe in any of this stuff. I don't want to fear monger. I don't want to live my life in fear or anything of that nature. That's what people call me, a fear monger. I'm saying all this with a smile, and I'm cackling my ass off half the freaking time, and I'm making light of the situation. At what point does that connote fear-mongering? The only mongerers of fear are the people who accuse you of being fear-mongerers. It's kind of like the only Nazis are the ones that accuse you of being a Nazi. The only psychos are the ones who accuse you of being a psycho, etc., etc. He who points the finger is the one who is holding the hand of that which he accuses. We all project onto other people what our perception of reality is. We don't figure for a moment that we actually could be wrong. And we don't know the extent of just how wrong we really, really are. I'm going to wake up this morning and I was just thinking, my God, the first 20 years of my life, I was just so wrong about absolutely everything. I was bumbling around like a fool, messing up everything that I'd ever been given. and that was the majority of my life so far. And I don't want to live the rest of my life like that, so I've decided to make a difference for a change. Instead of just going around doing what everybody else is doing and being a freaking idiot and making nothing and contributing nothing to the world and everything that is supposed to be good that's left in it, because it's worth fighting for. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, 218-339-8525. We'll be right back. It's now hour number two, baby, on the fastest 2 hours of talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I love doing this show, man. It's cool because actually most of the good part about it is I get to meet a lot of the people who listen to me. And it turns out that a lot of them are in New Zealand and excuse me, and just don't live too far away and stuff like that. And they're all really cool. That's what I love about it, man. Because I'm just trying to be as cool as I can, trying to take it easy and what have you. I naturally attract that kind of person to come and listen to this show. However, there's other people, which is quite interesting, are the very educated kind who think that I'm too flippant and cavalier and I need to be more structured, etc., etc. Like them. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not like you. Okay, I respect how you are, right? Just please respect how I am. I'm not educated in the conventional sense. I don't have a diploma. I went to the University of Gitanshidan. All right, it's an interesting university where all you have to do is actually do something rather than learn about it and talk about it. Go out and just freaking do it. All these other people want to make documentaries or anything like that, and they sit around wondering what the documentary idea could be. Just start filming something and just start seeing how the story goes. Start releasing videos and things of that nature, and before you know it, you'll have all you need in order to make a documentary. Okay? Just start doing it, man. Anything that concerns you is important. All right, even if it seemingly doesn't matter, excuse me, or is completely insignificant, they all matter. If you're concerned about it, if it's bugging you, then it matters for some reason. Okay, get it off your back. It's kind of like if you're sitting around in a filthy house and you ain't cleaning it up, and you're feeling really stressed out, like you can't relax. It's because you ain't cleaned your place out, mate. Just like your emotions. It's like a wardrobe that's full of all these old clothes that you don't use anymore. All these personas and all these ages and all these different phases that you've gone through that no longer exist. And they're simply dead memories that require basically nothing to keep. And yet they hold you up in so many ways when you're looking for the things that you want to wear today. That's what getting rid of all your baggage is about, because otherwise you'll start hating everything. It happens to a lot of people. They have very, very little concern for anything that is actually true and what matters, because they're so distracted by all the stuff that was used to, that got done to them back in the day. And they keep reliving all those experiences because they haven't gotten over them yet. Don't fall into that trap. Why would you? It's your life. You've only got a limited amount of time here. Apparently, it's like a sale at a convenience store. Limited time offer only. Life. Real frickin' life. Associate with real people who've actually got something to say with real conversation. Talking about real things is actually quite blissful. Apparently, it's enjoyable, isn't it? When you're listening to somebody talk about something that's interesting, something that makes a lot of sense, makes you pay attention, which is why nobody listens to politicians, because nothing they say makes any sense. We've all gotten bored of it. It's like watching a television show, soap opera, and you know that there's going to be some kind of twist and turn next. And instead of getting involved in the lives of these characters and enjoying all of these twists and turns, you realize, oh my God, what's happening to all these characters is what happens to somebody who has an interesting life. And while I'm watching somebody else have an imaginary interesting life, I'm sitting here wasting mine. We're all wasting our friggin' lives. What purpose or place or time or space do we feel that we want to occupy before we'll be contented? How much stuff do we need to buy? How much matter and clutter do we need to accumulate before we're satisfied with what we got? The answer is you don't actually need a whole lot. You need to be able to survive, and that's basically it. You can go by and do with anything and be very happy, okay? And I'm not kidding here. This is very real. There was a big survey done about who was the happiest country on Earth, you know, per capita. How happy are people? And they rated them in terms of, you know, smile all the way. I don't know how they did it or whatever. And for goodness sake, I might be misremembering it or anything. But Kenya, apparently, was the happiest place. Incidentally, a place where they do a lot of family get-togethers and basket weaving and running and all of this sort of stuff. So they've always got nice, happy, friendly people around them who are physically fit and can also go on a run. And that's all you need for them to be the happiest country on Earth. Isn't that interesting? And what we've got instead is the idea that getting into massive quantities of debt is going to make us happy. Getting into massive quantities of servitude is our road to salvation. Right. Nobody's paying attention. Are they? Where's the eyeballs? Anybody got their eyes open? Everybody asleep? You're sitting around, it's like you're watching the zombie apocalypse movie, and you look outside and you can't see much difference. Everybody mindless, brain-hungry, slovenly, slow-foot dragging with a broken tendon, toothless, blood-curdling, screaming zombie apocalypse out there, man. Except they've got cars that have little plastic eyelashes on them on a VW Beetle. Or they're a blonde trophy wife driving a Porsche Cayenne four-wheel drive or an Audi Q7 four-wheel drive or some other type of Chelsea tractor SUV Dodge Ram resembling exorbitantly gas-guzzling freaking... Get it? What are we compensating for? Has our entire society been molded into this very, almost homogenous, shapeless, and most importantly, spineless, absolutely cowardly, domineered, kneel to every authority figure type culture. As long as I have my beautiful little trappings that make life a little bit nicer or a little bit cooler, I'll perfectly accept any form of servitude that's offered up to me. It's a freaking tragedy. Where's the point of sacrifice anymore? People have just gotten vacuous, or some people have at least. There's a good section of people out there, kind of people that listen to this radio show, usually around the 40 to 60 age range, who have seen a culture shift over their lifetime, who have seen the emergence of new technologies and a change from being able to talk to people in person and just go over to their house and say, hey, bro, what's up, and come in and have a cup of tea. And now you've got to have texts and emails and phone calls and all this other forms of communication before you actually even get to meet anymore, kind of thing. You can't just drop on round. And it's kind of like we've been disconnected by the communications technologies. Do you know what I mean? Because we have to communicate through another medium, we lose that direct connection to each other. All right? That's why I'm in favor in general of hugging people quite a bit. Yes, I do like to hug people because it feels better. It's like, I don't know, grounding or something. And I give really good hugs because I'm massive. And I can usually tuck people underneath my chin sort of thing. So they feel like they're being hugged by a giant, which they literally are. And it's great. Everybody else enjoys it. Hugs are good and what have you. But ultimately, there's some people who don't like to be touched, don't like kind of personal contact or openness or smiles or something like that. There's just these people who've got something on their back. I don't know what it is, but they don't like me or people like me. Anybody who's got an opinion of their own, anybody who's warm, open, friendly, and accepting, and wanting to listen and wanting to express and communicate as well. There's something wrong with these people, not me. I'm the one who's got it right. I do. Believe me, if I'm not the one who's got it right, then show me somebody else who has. And I'll follow whatever great things that they've got going for them. Okay? If you want to emulate somebody who is better than you in some way. Don't try to hang around with people who are exactly the same age as you, who go to exactly the same school, who are doing the exact same courses and all of that kind of stuff. Those minimal commonalities are irrelevant, okay? And all you got to do is just find people that make the getting through whatever okay. But you got to find good contacts, good people to work with, people who've proved themselves time and time again, And that's like what the Truth Movement is about as well. Especially people who are doing the media operations side of the things. And the research side of things, like the real work and the Truth Movement, basically doing the bulk of the attention grabbing and information distribution. Those people often have great relationships with each other. There's a lot of good couples out there who work well together and are each other's supports. And others rely on people who are like business partners and things like that. And all too many times, and I know from personal experience as well, all too many times when you come in to this field, in any form of the conspiracy movement, and you're partnering with somebody else, there are occasions where those partnerships can not work out properly, one person won't be as into it as you are, or vice versa, and that will happen. And people sometimes have a very cool, mutual, just sort of end of particular parts of relationships, like my former co-host Will, for example. He couldn't keep doing this show anymore because it's a big time commitment, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, to be co-hosting a show sort of thing, and he wasn't able to do it. So, you know, I was just like, oh, that's cool, man, you know. I'm going to keep doing it, though. And I did, and he's now doing other stuff. Very important stuff with a new political party and things of that nature. So everybody just goes in their own direction and does what they really feel that they should be doing. And if you partner with somebody who doesn't actually really feel that they should be doing what you're partnering with them on, whether that be on a radio station or a website or a cause or something of that nature, you invest a lot in them and you've got a lot of reliance on them, which means you're dependent on them. And I've come to the conclusion that the best kind of dependent you can be is independent. And so if you've got all the gear that you need and all the training that you need to get the job done by yourself and rely on yourself to get it done and everything like that, then do it. If you feel that you're going to need other people, then fine. Work with others as much as you can. I encourage that. But when you're working with others, don't let them just do everything by themselves, you know. Learn what they're doing. Trust me, at all times. If you're at a mechanic station or anything like that, you just let them work on your car alone, right? No, I actually talk to them about it. I don't know nothing about cars or engines or something like that, but now I'm starting to learn a little because while the guys are fixing my car, they tell me what's wrong with it and show me the parts and things of that nature. Okay? This is how you learn, is from everybody who knows something that you don't know around you, paying attention, listening. And if you want to accomplish something with those people, you've got to be very, very attentive to their needs. Otherwise, they might just bail on you one day and leave you on the lurch with no skills and no resources in order to keep doing what you said you were going to do. Radio show, documentary, film, or anything like that. Many projects fall apart because of relationship issues between partners and what have you. Same with relationships in your personal life or friendships or anything like that. Sometimes you just realize, hey, it's over. It's over, man. But if you are independent, on the other hand, if somebody comes into your life and then out of your life, makes no difference. If somebody comes into your life and then improves it, then it makes a difference. But you didn't lose your independence. That's what I'm talking about here. Nobody can tell me who I have to interview or who I can't. Because I've got independence. I've got all the gear, and I can do it. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And by the way, make sure you check out the featured interviews page and all the archive sections and what have you, because we've done a remarkable amount of shows, all of them real top-notch, entertaining and informative. And there's a flavor for everybody in that big ice cream tub of archives. We'll be right back, folks.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
Welcome
black
back.
Black sunrise.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and when you go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, they've also got these map thingies where you can look up and see who's actually listening. So at the moment, I want to say hello to the guy who's listening in from Poland and the guy in Germany and Canada. And there's somebody in Hong Kong who reasonably tunes in all the time as well. Plenty of people in America, Missouri, Illinois, New York, you know, baby, everybody, welcome to the show, man. Wherever the heck you are, you know we're on the same boat. That's why you call it a new world order, because it's global. We're all victims of it to a degree. And, you know, you could sit around and you could whinge and moan about it and just go, oh, oh my God, the victimhood, oh, no, yeah. Or you could get out there with a 100-watt megaphone and shout in the face of your enslaver and call him a scumbag like me. That's what I do, man. It's fun, I can tell you. And, in fact, I did that protest. If you want to watch the video, it's on my YouTube channel there, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. The links are available through guerrillamedia.co.nz and the Vinnie Eastwood Show com. Also, go through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the list of show hosts kind of thing. And when you come down to mine, you'll see the list of other things that I have. And all the listeners in Aussie and all over the world. The funny thing is, a lot of you listen to it in the middle of the night or right up early in the morning kind of thing. And it's interesting because when you're on the same planet, you realize that we're all going through time at the same time, right? But when you look at the watch, the time's different. And everybody's experiencing a different time of the day or a different time of the night or whatever. And it's like you really are living different lives. But when you can hear somebody from the other side of the world who's thinking exactly what you're thinking, saying exactly what you were about to say, that kind of thing, that sort of brings us together, I think. We've got the same wants, ambitions. Decent sleep, for example, good food, good mates, safe life, good family. Those are the kind of things we all enjoy. Financial security. And that's why all those things are under attack and are subsequently disappearing. That's the real problem here is it's not something that might happen or can happen. It's something that is happening. And is continuing to get worse. So the whole idea of behind gathering information, and I think maybe it took me a couple years of watching a documentary here or there before I kind of like totally woke up and started like getting real into it, started watching 2-3 documentaries a day and started accumulating a geometric knowledge of how the world really, truly works and who actually runs the place, why, how, all these different strange, crazy little aspects that are all over the place, basically. I was very, very distraught by the fact that there was nobody doing it in New Zealand, okay, or there was nobody doing it in Auckland, or that the protests weren't being covered by the media properly, or that all this other stuff. I noticed these problems, and so the obvious solution was to go and solve those big problems that I saw. And I don't know if they're solved yet. I'm just doing my dangdest. And that's all anybody can ever do, okay? Yeah, nobody can actually force you into doing anything you don't want, okay? I mean, they could maybe clamp you in irons, whip you or something of that nature. But conceivably, there is a chance that you might be able to figure out something you can do that both A, makes you happy, and B, does some good for freaking humanity for a change, rather than just being a slave. Slavery is not good for anybody. It's not very productive either. Cooperation is a heck of a lot better, and persuasion is a far better alternative than coercion, I believe, anyway. Because if I want to benefit my life or something like that, and somebody sees that and then goes, oh, well, you know, maybe, Vinny, you should try this. You should try something different. You should build on yourself. You should improve yourself, etc. And we're like, okay, not a problem. But if they're forcing me into it, then I'm not going to want to do it at all. That's the kind of aversion to authority that we all kind of have. But of course, if somebody is going to force you into it, the concern grows even further. That, oh my God, how do I protect myself against such force and coercion? A lot of people, if they're armed, don't have that problem. Because if somebody's trying to come into my house, trying to force me and my family into the kitchen or something like that at gunpoint, I'm gonna blow their head off with a shotgun. Okay? That's what independence is about. Not only do you treat everybody else nicely and caringly and everything like that, but if somebody violates you or other people who are innocent and didn't deserve what they get, you should have the capacity to punish or restrain said person so that they don't cause any more damage. Now, it doesn't mean you need a police state that goes and tackles on everybody. It just means you need enough to keep public order. You can't stop every crime from happening, but it's better to actually make sure that there is at least some kind of professionalism and some kind of lawful conduct being exerted by the police. And in many cases, that's not the case. And so the professional police force has now been co-opted. Instead of the idea of joining up the police so that you can be, you know, well, shall we say, a good cop and do the right thing, serve your community, and be the friendly person who you normally are in your daily life and want to genuinely go out and help people. You may realize later on that that's not what the police are there for. You may realize later on that they have alliances and allegiances with organized crime, that they run a lot of drugs through these evidence lockers, that there are murders and cover-ups and very nasty things indeed that go on in the background of police. There's a lot of corruption. Not saying every cop is bad. Not saying every cop is good. It's somewhere in between, man. And it's just luck of the draw. And in general, when you approach police officers, make sure you're the one that approaches them first at protests or something of that nature. At least I do. And I go up, big smile, say, how are you doing today? And if they smile back at you, then you know you're dealing with a real human being who's cool or whatever. But if they just kind of, you know, just ignore you and have a scowl on their face and everything like that, you know, that's one of the psycho ones. And they will push you and hurt you if they can. They will set you up. They'll, you know, these kind of people, just corrupt scum. And it's so easy. Because they are a perfect negative mirror image of happiness. You walk up to them, big smile on your face, nice and happy, good to be at a protest. Hello, officer, how are you today? If he does not reflect that expression, that mood back towards you, you know he doesn't have that one and he ain't here to have a good time. He's here to look for opportunities to hurt people. Yeah. He loves to just pepper spray people in the face for no reason, to slam their heads against the hoods of their own cars and things of that nature, to shove cameramen who are within a few meters of an arrest going on who are simply filming it, okay, and not touching or interfering or doing anything, just coming up out of the blue from behind and shoving them, okay? This is the kind of person that you don't want enforcing the friggin' law under any circumstances. I think there should be some kind of a screening program to make sure that these kind of psychopathic tendencies do not wind up in the streets covered in uniforms. I think that's pretty straightforward. But invariably, you do get these bad apple mofos who are just absolute swine. And the worst of things, who give the rest of the guys a bad name. And most of the cops that I've met have been pretty choice dudes, man. Pretty choice dudes. Goodness knows what happened to them. They probably quit. I know my friend Grace Hayden, she was a police prosecuting sergeant for 15 years. She saw copious quantities of stuff going wrong in the police. And she said, you know, that if you get into the New Zealand police, and I'm sure this is probably the same in every country, if you get into the police, you will either become corrupt or leave because it's so corrupt, okay? They will either turn you or turn you away because they don't want people that are going to narc on them, hanging around, figuring out that there's drug running going on, figuring out that murders are being perpetrated by the police and getting covered up. You know, this kind of stuff happens. In the United States, there have been heaps of countless news stories of really suspicious murders from the police that have been ruled suicides and things like that. And it's just like, come on, man. The guy did not hang himself, and then when he's dead, cut himself into, six pieces or whatever, put himself in a bag, zip the bag up, put himself in the back of a car, and drive down the highway, and then hurl himself from the moving car out the window and land in a ditch, and then be ruled a suicide. I'm not kidding. It happens. It happens. People even. What do they do? They commit suicide by shooting themselves from 6 feet across the room with a shotgun to the face, and then getting rolled a suicide too. There we go. Oh my god. Oh, the scumbaggery. There's an awful lot of real funny stuff out there that's just horrible. I mean, freaking horrible, man. It's so, so, so evil and demonic. And it's just, how can they lie so blatantly? It's because they don't have a conscience. Like you or I do. Okay, if you were to walk up to me and I was to punch you in the face, okay, I know this, it almost sounds really horrible to hear, me punch you in the face kind of thing. An image comes to mind of me punching you in the face and you having your face hurt or nose broken or something of that nature and blood spurting out and whatnot. Maybe I just put that image in your mind, but never mind. The whole point is, if you initiate the force and the contact and things like that, not only does me saying that have a thought process that is negative, but me actually doing it would have a reaction that's negative as well. If I also felt that negative act on myself, like, for example, I felt bad about punching you in the face for no reason. Went, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Are you okay? Here, I'll give you an aspirin. Do you need your back rubbed away? You know, that kind of thing. That means you're not a psychopath. But on the other hand, somebody would do that and has absolutely no feeling about it what's one way or the other, or maybe even thinks it is a little funny. Look at all the blood coming out of him. That's a psychopath. That's somebody who doesn't have no conscience, man. Think about it. How many times have you met somebody who's kind of a little bit enchanting and powerful and almost really bright? And maybe even pretty, handsome or whatever. And they don't actually have any long-standing relationships with you. You don't really know very much about them or anything of that nature. How many people have you known like that? Have they been your bosses almost all the way, almost every job that you've ever had, right? Those types of people who are just basically scum, who are running the show. That's how it works. Have a look at any pond. Where does the scum accumulate? It accumulates at the very top of the pond. Every time that there is scum, that's where it goes, straight to the top. This system is built like that. So the people who have a conscience are weeded out so that they are forced to leave and intimidated into keeping their mouths shut. That's why this kind of media is very important, because the regular reporters and everything like that, if they were to try to report the same things that I'm reporting on, they would be threatened with losing their job or their life or something of that nature. It happens all the time. And I feel sorry for these people because they have to go out and report what they're told to report. They're not really allowed to have any independent thought. But at the same time, they're so freaking airheaded and stupid in the first place that they wouldn't know what the heck was going on if it reached up and bit them in the ass. That's the kind of people that you want informing you, is it? You know, some moron who just got out of some kind of school who looks slightly pretty. You know, that's the person you want reading your teleprompter and telling everybody what the heck is going on in it. No life experience. Brilliant. What a stellar crackerjack choice that was. The call-in number is 218 21-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You can also join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and we'll be doing a group chat on the Skype after the show today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto.
Listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangalore.
It's the kind of radio show that goes out everywhere, man. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, and speaking of shows that go out everywhere, I was thinking the other day that when you're watching the mainstream media, some of it is designed specifically to drive you mad. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Or is there some scheme afoot here to just drive you friggin' nuts with the stupidity that they've got going on with that crime? I mean, come on. Seriously. What is going on here? I'm just thinking about how many times have you watched the news and started to shout or scream at the television or something of that nature? There's BS like never seen before. Like, you have an array of it. So much is the BS everywhere. So much of it. The media is controlled all over the world. You know, anybody deny that, you're wrong. You know, come on, give me a break here. Give me a break. The media ain't controlled. Why are certain topics just not touched on? In fact, why aren't huge quantities of topics touched on? Why is history not revisited or anything of that nature? Why is nobody asking any freaking questions of the media itself? Where is all this censorship and skullduggery coming from? I'm greatly, greatly perturbed. Why, under any circumstances, why'd people put up with this? It's because they're not aware of it. Because the people who would make them aware of it, their politicians or their business leaders, or basically anybody who has a conscience who would actually come out and make you aware of it, does not have the media apparatus to make you aware of it. All the stuff is geared to make it go the other way in most cases. There are occasional victories that we have here, but they're not actually victories. They're simply delaying the New World Order until such a point that they can be resoundingly exposed and overthrown. Okay? That's what we're really talking about here, is overthrowing. I think maybe it might come to violence at some point, but the New World Order is going to strike first. That's when it will come to violence. It was when people know that they are under real physical threat that they can shoot back against, kind of thing. That's when it'll probably escalate into violence. But for now, hey, we might be on the verge of whatever, but I don't live my life on the verge of whatever. I live my life with my 2 feet planted directly on the ground right here and deal with exactly what's in front of me. And what's in front of me right now is a huge bunch of people who don't know what the hell is going on, and a whole bunch of people who know exactly what's going on who don't have the apparatus to go and inform them. So I in turn try to provide that apparatus. And that's what guerrilla media is about. Give all the activists, all that sort of stuff, publishing rights so they can just put up it all, man. Put it all up. Whatever you got working on, doesn't matter if it's perfect. I don't know what credibility is. I've not been trained at any journalistic school or anything like that. I'm just an ordinary guy sitting around saying what I think. Okay? I don't bear any responsibility for what other people do with their own lives. I'm just responsible for what I do with mine. And as long as I ain't hurting nobody, stealing stuff, lying about everything, then it should be fine. And even if I'm wrong about things, even if I'm wrong about chemtrails and banking and oil and everything like that, which all the evidence says I'm right, even if I'm wrong, what harm have I caused by telling people about it? By telling people that there's, you know, increased aluminium or increased debt or increased cancer or whatever, that they should be aware of and take actions against, okay? Mostly, you do need to take care of yourself, very much. And I think that what we have the opportunity to do now with this new technology is to change the world. Literally, really change it once and for all. Corruption and scumbaggery is a perennial problem. It's always growing, doesn't matter what season or what time of year it is. It is always growing somewhere. And just like any kind of weed, needs to be routed regularly. That is what is absolutely necessary, I think, to getting all of this terrible, terrible problems with the world and the environment, psychological brainwashing and everything that everybody's put under. That's the solution to it. Give people the information and they will be able to provide the solutions for themselves. If you give people aid, you know, you just give them food or something like that, they'll be able to eat, but they won't be able to grow their own crops, they won't be able to go fishing or anything like that. Your brain's the same. Don't allow anybody else to control your information supply. Don't just listen to me, okay? And I have people who stop listening to me because I uploaded a video of something somebody else said, and I said I didn't know 100% if what he was saying was 100% true. I just thought it was interesting. And therefore, I've lost all credibility to their mind, and you've lost a fan, Vinny. Well, hold on a second here. Who's the one who's being judgmental? Who's the one who is basically bagging me for absolutely no reason based on something somebody else has said, right? I don't care about people's own little grim lives, okay? If you want to be unhappy, if you want to be miserable and sit around and say that, oh, everything's screwed, who cares, la, 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 the sheeple will all get exterminated, I've got my food, I've got my guns, I'll be out of here, I'll be sweet air, screw everybody else. That's the exact same mentality as the enemy, bro. They've got their food, they've got their weapons, they've got their underground military bases to go to, and you're just copying the same methodology as them, okay? You'll turn out exactly like them. And if you wind up winning somehow, miraculously, the war against the New World Order and by using fear and intimidation and looking down on people, then you'll wind up becoming the New World Order that you've sought to destroy. I'm going to start thinking about how other people see the world and how other people feel pain for your actions for a change. Everything that we do has a consequence. Sometimes that consequence is not felt by us. Sometimes I'll say like a rude joke or something of that nature, and somebody will really get offended as opposed to laughing their ass off. They've just interpreted it and decoded it wrong. They have done it wrong. I didn't have the intention to offend. I just wanted to tell a funny joke. And it was funny for everybody else in the circle. But there was one person who decided that it just wasn't funny and that it was too offensive and that they have the moral authority to tell me to shut up and coerce my language to suit them and all of that kind of stuff. The whole world should shut their mouths in order to please my need for silence. I have people coming up to me at a protest telling me I'm being too loud. At a protest! Is he like, what did you come to a protest for? For peace and frickin' quiet? You couldn't be frickin' kidding me. People have got their priorities so screwed up, they don't even know they can tell their ass from their elbow sometimes. You know, I may be a little bit, I don't know, off the wall at some point, but at least I know what the frack I'm doing. At least I know where the frack I am. Some people, they're walking around like they're in a mist, a haze. There's nothing there that's real, nothing that's solid. Total moral relativism. Oh, I like my moral relativism. Yeah, it's the ism that's relative, isn't it? For frack's sake. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And in dark times, I think, when you've got something that you agree with other people on, even if you've got a lot of disagreements with them or whatever, if you're actually under threat, as we all are right now, in every day, in every way, you come together on the points you agree. You come together on the points you agree, because if you spend all your time arguing about these little infinitesimal things that don't really matter, you and the person you're arguing with will both accomplish nothing. And meanwhile, you're arguing and being conquered. Pay close attention. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Thank you so much for doing so. And in a few minutes, we will also be starting up the social network site thingamajigger. So if you come to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com chat room, you can join in the Skype chat after the show, and we'll be having a conversation with a couple of other listeners and what have you, and you can join in too. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, very, very, very much for tuning in. Thank you for everybody who donates and subscribes and gives us cash to keep the wheels turning. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.